This is Luxury.
And Diallo,
the hosts of One Song. Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this podcast and for giving our recording studio a sustainable makeover.
Just like music is made of notes and beats, each eco-friendly choice we make contributes a single note that completes the overall melody. That's why Heartbeat and U.S. Soy are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets.
To see our podcast studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on @HeartbeatAudio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
What up, world? You already know what it is. Another episode of Gold Mines. You know what we do here. We get inside the minds of amazing people, and goddamn it, today's episode will be no different. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. We got my guy on the show. A guy that I'm very interested in getting to understand, man, already making me laugh. Really, really coming off as the interesting individual that I know that he is. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Benny Blanco on Gold Mines. What's going on with you, man?
Oh, man, I'm just trying to figure out how to use this thing. I don't even know what we're on right now. I just put headphones in for the first time. It's not even a joke. I'm not even trying to be funny.
No. I see that you're not playing. I see that you're very serious. I am very excited, man, that I'm responsible for popping your cherry in the space of just simply using technology for today. This is a big deal. Now, Benny, as a producer, a phenomenal producer, a guy who's been in that space of business for quite some time, why is the space of headphone use so weird to you? This is the first time that you've dealt with the Apple like headphones. What's the level of new and the why?
I'm not like a tech savvy guy. I'm like the type of guy, like I know how to use my program, but like I don't know how to use any. If my computer freezes, like I got to get a new computer. I don't know how to do anything. Outside of like the exact things I know how to do. I use like big headphones like those, but I've never used, I talk on speakerphone everywhere I go.
I love that, first of all, because that means that you are a person of habit. You know how to do what you know how to do, and you don't operate outside of those things. But let's get into it. I mean, look, if you're a producer, you are dealing with a high level of technology. You do understand that.
Yeah, I am. But like, I really feel like my job is just kind of this. I feel like at all times, I'm a therapist. That's basically what I do for a living. An artist comes in and, you know, insert huge multi-platinum artist that you're like, you know, in your head, you see someone, you're like, oh my God, they got to be the most confident person in the world. But they come in and they're as nervous, as shy as you've ever seen. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, how you feeling? Someone's like, oh no, I'm great. And then you're like, how you feeling? And they're like, no, I'm great. And then I'm like, how you feeling? And they're like, I hate my life. I hate this. I hate that. And then like, basically you're just sitting there trying to pick up the pieces, and you have to find a way to make this person be comfortable enough to express this and show the rest of the world and feel vulnerable in that very moment. And, you know, a lot of people work with people they don't know. I don't know how to do that. I only work with people that are my friends. So I can tell them, I can be like, yo, let's talk about, you know, like one time, okay, I was writing a song with Ed Sheeran and we wrote this song, Love Yourself, with Justin Bieber. Okay. And we were sitting, I remember we were on tour, okay? And we were just leaving we'd just gone to this like crazy Drake after party. Like we were like, we stayed up all night. It was when Drake and Future released that album together and we're like exhausted and we're on the bus together and we're like, all right, let's just write a song. And we start writing a song in the back. Okay. The back of the bus. And we're sitting there and I was like, he started writing the song and it was like the word, it wasn't from his heart. And I was like, well, what's going on in your life? And he was like, oh, I don't want to write a song about that. I don't want to like give this girl like any more credit than she deserves. And I was like, why don't we write a song about not wanting to write a song? And then like, that's the first line. It's like, I don't want to write a song. I don't want anyone thinking I still care. I don't, but you know, and it's like, there are these moments where if you can just get to what the person's actually feeling and access that, that's going to be what people want to hear the most.
How do you tap into that level of talent, right? Like, because for a creative, the biggest piece in part to being a creative is realizing what you're good at creating. For you, what was that? What was that realization of understanding like, wow, this is what I do. And this then develops and becomes the world of, well, that's not true. I mean, from what you just said and the way that you just broke that shit down, it's obviously a high level of awareness to like what you do well, but how did you discover that?
Here's what I think. I think the same way like a 14-year-old girl does. And I have like the same taste level as her. Like, and I think, I feel like I always want to tell an honest story because, you know, when people listen to music, you instantly put yourself in the situation. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting there and you're like, well, oh, I guess it's talking about me. Oh yeah. It's like daily horoscopes. You know, when someone says, they're like, today you're going to see like a green car. You're like, I guess that car was kind of green. You know, like you just start thinking about shit like that and putting it into your own life. And I feel like music can connect. I can be writing a song that's about something so different than what the listener is hearing. But if they're connecting with it, then like that's all it means. So I just try to pick stories that connect in my life and how I'm feeling at that time. And then just do it. I kind of write music for myself. I don't really care what happens. And it just so happens that the things that I care about writing are things that I guess people want to hear. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, for me, what I find most interesting about songwriters, right, are, of course, the choice of topic within the song. But to your example that you just used with you and Ed, it's more about the feeling, the things that you're going through. What I like is your reference to like therapy, right? And talking to the people that you said are your friends, and getting your friends to open up about these things. Do you find a similarity and problem amongst the group that you've now worked with? Like, is it mainly the world of love, frustration, or is it anxiety, depression? Like, what do you feel is the common thread to the problem with the entertainers today?
Well, we're all dealing with the same shit. Everyone deals, you know, that's why like I see stuff, like I see things written about, you know, people, myself included, where I'm like, man, I really wish, you know, people put artists and musicians and famous people up on this pedestal and act like no one's a human. And, you know, and I feel like it's just the same, everyone's going through the same shit. You know, it's just sometimes if you're having a bad day, a normal person, they don't have a camera in their face that's capturing that one moment where maybe they were like, you know, they were just a little upset or a little hungover, or a little, you know, and I think like it's really important for people to remember that everyone is just the same fucking person. Everyone, all these artists, all these celebrities, everyone shits, they eat, they get sad, they get happy. So what I like to do is I think that the reason why I connect with so many of these people is we're all dealing with the same shit. Like, it's like, yeah, I get anxious. I get really anxious no matter what. Like, it happens. I get anxiety. You know, I was talking the other day I was with my mom and one of my friends who's just like a huge artist and that plays stadiums. And I said, my mom goes, do you ever get nervous? And they said, every fucking show, are you kidding me? Until I get out there and say that first thing, I'm as nervous as like the first show I've ever done. And I got 80,000 people out there waiting, but it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, everyone's a human being and it's.
You're either referring to Ed Sheeran, Harry Styles, or Taylor Swift, or the Weeknd. I mean, you only have 4 people that can play stadiums as a guy that's a huge touring act. If you think I don't know the touring acts that can actually fill a stadium, you know, that's it. That's it.
Too
I
much.
Mean, we just narrowed the list too down. Much.
Didn't you play a stadium?
I did.
How'd you feel?
I love it. I don't get anxiety attached to the world of performing. Like I'm very good at turning big rooms into intimate rooms. So the highlight of a large crowd, the dope thing for me is making a large crowd an intimate crowd. The only reason why I didn't do a stadium tour is because I was like, well, that's going to lessen the amount of dates that I would do, because you know, you're not doing a crazy number in stadium tours, because you know there's only a certain amount of I guess you could say locations that have the stadiums that you are confident that you can fill or sell out. So you know, my confidence in selling out stadiums all over isn't that high. So I said, I'm gonna stay in these arenas and occasionally jump into a stadium where and when it makes sense. But I wouldn't do it. I can't do a full stadium tour. I'm not that confident. No.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at those numbers and not see what I want to see. Now my anxiety is high.
Yeah. If you don't have anxiety from performing, do you ever get life anxiety?
No. I think anxiety.
He's like, no, I'm perfect.
No. It's not. You know what it is? It's not life anxiety. Like I kind of have a fuck it. It is what it is. And it's going to be what it's going to be mentality. Yeah. Like, you know, from a guy that's been in the shit, out the shit, like once it presents itself, it is what it is. The higher side of thinking about it has never like bought me more or less. It's like I just grasp the concept of reality. Like my stressing about it isn't going to change it. So I try to be more solution oriented towards these things. Do you find yourself an anxiety guy, like a high level anxious or anxiety guy?
In business, 0%. In business, I'm just like, man, it's always worked out for me in the long run. Sometimes maybe it doesn't work out in like that moment, but whatever happens then, there's always like something so much bigger in the future. And I don't ever stress about music, 0%. Or any of the other shit I've done. Like, I don't really stress out about that ever. I always know it's going to work out. I stress out about like random shit. Like, I don't fly.
Really?
I literally don't fly.
Really?
When I go to Europe, I take a boat. I take a damn boat to Europe.
What?
How's that for anxiety?
What? Why?
Yeah, I drive. I don't know. I drive everywhere. Dude, I just, like, I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. I know I'm waking up really early, and then I'll go to sleep in a car, and then I'll wake up, and I'll be in Vegas.
Why can't you fly? Are you afraid of flying? Is there a real fear?
I had a bad flight, like, maybe 10 years ago. I used to fly, like, multiple times a week. I had a bad flight, and it was, like, right, it was more than 10 years ago. It was, like, 12, 13. And it was, like, right when, like, I just become like so successful. So I could like, I could be like, oh, I'll take a bus there. And like, and then I did it a few times and then I got in my head. And then I've really only flown a handful of times, like since then, maybe like 15 times in the last 10 plus years, I've only flown like maybe 10 or 15 times, but I've been everywhere in the world somehow. I'm like John Madden or like how Khaled used to be.
Yeah, like Khaled just got over his fear of flying.
Have I know. Ever, did we you talk ever about talk it all the time.
And talking to him.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Has that given you the urge to go, you know what?
He maybe said a I kid. Should, maybe he said the, his really kid was the only reason he got over his fear.
So that I can travel in a more efficient manner? No?
He said his kid was the only reason he got over his fear. That's it.
Really?
Yeah, he said, my kid gets on a plane. How am I so scared?
A boat. How long does it take you to get to Europe by boat?
First, you drive to New York, okay? Then once you get to New York, it's 7.5 short days. I'm literally on the shit like, I'm on the Titanic. I take the Titanic. That's what I take. It's the same boat.
Benny.
I know.
Benny. spinning. How many people are on the boat with you when you go?
Thousands. It's like a huge, you can't take a private boat. You have to take, dude, I've been on this boat so many times. It is the worst. It is the worst.
Benny. Wait a second. So it's like a community boat.
Yeah, yeah.
You're taking like a...
Yeah, you can't take a private boat. You have to take a boat. You can't take a boat. It has to be so big because it's the waters, like, because they want you to be safe. So you can't take like a private boat across the world.
So Benny, you would rather boat it for 7.5 days. You would rather take the 7-day boat trip than a simple 9-hour flight? Have you seen anybody to help you with this outside of Khaled?
Yeah, imagine Khaled's my therapist. There's one guy who's gotten me on a plane. He's a hypnotist. He's amazing. He can get you to quit anything. His name's Kerry Gaynor. He like gets anyone to quit smoking cigarettes, anyone with food addictions. He's amazing. He's the only person to ever get me on a plane. And then one girlfriend did one time. I just had to for this thing. It was for like my best friend's wedding and I couldn't miss it. I had to go. So I did it. But like, I'm really working on it. It's like right when I'm done with all my next work I have to do, that's like my next thing. Cause there's one place I've never been that I really want to go. And I gotta get there.
I love the honesty.
I gotta go to Japan.
Oh my God.
Gotta go.
You can't. I mean, dude, what are you talking about? You can't.
Yeah,
I can't take a fucking boat to Japan. You gotta go to Japan.
I know. It's my one thing. I'm not scared of anything. I do everything. It's the one thing. I don't know what's wrong. And you know what the fucking craziest part is? I would jump out of a plane. It has nothing to do with a plane. It has to do with like just a control of being sitting there. Like, I like to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I was in a bus fire. I almost died on a tour bus and I still get on one.
Baby, this may, I'm being honest, this may be the most interesting thing I've ever heard in my life. Your take on this and your take on like, you come off as such a free spirited like guy, like in listening to you, like just your yeah. way of thinking. It seems to be so fucking like, free, so in tune, and then we get to this flight thing and you're like, yeah, but I'm gonna go 7 days and I'm gonna
I know you know who almost got me recently? Pharrell gave me this talk that like literally if there was a plane right there I would have got on. He gave me this talk that was like so spiritual that like I was so close. I would have joined whatever religion he said and gotten on it. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna call him next time I'm gonna fly. Like he gave me this shit that made me feel so bad about myself but still so like I gotta do it.
You know what?
Yeah, it's my next. Yeah, I'm honest. I'm a really honest person.
You're connected to so many energy streams. And by that, I mean like the people that you're around, there's such a variety in personnel, but you're able to tap into these crazy energy sources that basically are not only valuable, but they're so different, so unique, but most of them all get to the same goal of positivity, of life and living or becoming the best version of yourself, right? Or being happy. Like when you're talking about a Pharrell, you're talking about a Khaled, like two completely different individuals. But when you start talking about positivity, inspiration, motivation, life, they're saying the same shit just differently, just with different levels of energy, man.
Yeah.
You know, if you're pulling from that, you gotta take some of that with you to do more.
I'm trying.
To step outside the box.
I'm trying.
So right now, give me the wheelhouse of want. I mean, you know, like I said, dude, you're in front of a lot of success. You've done a lot of things. What are you looking for at this point in your career? What more do you want to do?
You know, it's funny. I guess in about 2016, I remember I was actually on the road with Ed. It was like 2016 and I was sitting there and we had just watched that documentary, The Defiant Ones, with like Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. And I'm sitting there, we're backstage. We just finished it. We were in Philly at the time when we finished it. And I was like, sitting there and he was like, shit, man, what are we doing with our lives? We're not doing enough. And he like, then he stood up and he went and played a sold out show. And I was sitting backstage by myself and I was like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? And you know, it was at that point where I was like, I had a record label. I had all the success. You know, I've been so fortunate to like, you know, I got successful at such a young age and somehow like turned out to not be a complete shithead. And, you know, it's like you get thrown into this thing like when you're 17 years old and you're like, where the fuck am I? And, you know, it had been years. I've been in it for so long. And I remember just being like, you know, I'm tired of making songs for other people. I was an artist when I started out. That's how I first got discovered. And then I quit and became a musician and songwriter for other people. And then I was like, fuck, I guess I'm just going to start making songs again as an artist. And I remember I like asked my friends, I was like, should I make some songs? Like, is that what I should do? And like, I was hoping kind of they'd say no, but they were like, yeah, you should do it. And they were like, I'll be on it. So like, I started making songs and I knew what it took to make a big song. So I was like, okay, eventually I'll have a big song. But the first one I did got so big and I was like, fuck, I kind of wanted like more time to like be like, to find the journey. So then that happened. And then at the same time, you know, Lil Dicky was one of my best friends. And he was like, I'm going to make a TV show. And then he was like, I need your help with all the music. And then he was like, fuck, you know, we're trying to write a guy to play you, but we can't find anyone that can play you. And he was like, can you just do a test shoot? And I was like, what's a test shoot? And he was like, all you got to do is just come and we're going to put you in front of a camera. And then if you're good, we're going to do it. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. He was like, please, man, we really need you. We're coming down to the wire. So then like he put me in front of it. And then he was like, all right, you're an actor now. And I was like, what? So then like all of a sudden now I'm an actor. I know nothing about acting. Couldn't know less. Like I was like, in the way, you know, the way we do it so much is like a lot of the stuff is real stories from our life or like we're just kind of improvising on the spot. So then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I guess I'm an actor now. So I'm like an artist, then I'm an actor. And then, I got a cooking show. I cook hella food. I'm making a cookbook. I don't know. I just kind of just try to do whatever interests me that day. Cause for a very long time, I've been fortunate to be in a position where I can be like, okay, I want to do solely what I want to do. I only want to do what I want to do and what makes me happy. And if it doesn't make me happy, I'm out. And I want to do stuff with my friends and I want to challenge myself every day to like do something that might be a little bit out of my comfort zone.
I was just going to say, you're talking about the love of discovery.
Exactly.
Right? You're talking about the love of finding the new thing that you had no idea would be the thing, but that you love because of the excitement and opportunity to do. I don't know if you know I'm a producer on Lil Dicky.
Yeah, of course.
Your run on that show was by far one of the funniest things that I've ever seen. The introduction to Benny Blanco and you and Dave's like y'all chemistry, man. Like the chemistry that you guys had on camera was so fucking good. It was so fucking good that it was like that, and that's what makes the show good. The show's so good because you believe this world, and you can tell that he's pulling from real stories, real moments, and like that's what really makes it special. But that's where I became like a bigger fan. Of course, I already knew of you, but when you embrace that shit,
yeah.
I was like, God damn, like this guy's actually fucking good, like. You're good.
I don't know how to do it. It's funny, like all like actors will come up to me and they'll be like, man, what are you in next? And I'm like, what are you talking? I'm like, what do you mean? What am I in next? I'm like, they're like, man, like this, I swear to God, what's his name? The superhero guy, Chris Pine. Chris Pine came up to me and he was like, man, where'd you study acting? And I was like, what? I don't know anything. I literally, also Dave makes me look so much better than I am. He's so good at like editing the show. You know, he does everything for that shit. He's like, He's like a fucking genius. I just do whatever he tells me.
He said, "What? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
like, what's next?
Yeah,
man?
I don't know. Any.
What's your next gig?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
That's
know.
What he says. He's like, what? He's like, yeah. I remember the funniest thing happened. They like asked me to be in this movie, and they were like, will you audition for this? And I was like, no. I was like, are you kidding me? You know how embarrassing that would be? Like. I was like, the only reason I can do this shit is because we write the lines. I couldn't say, imagine me playing like a 1940s like war veteran. Like, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah. All right, guys. Look, let's take a quick stop, man. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Gold Mines after this.
This is Luxury.
And Diallo.
The hosts of One Song. And we'd like to thank the United Soybean Board for the sustainable makeover of our podcast studio and for sparking discussions on greener Hollywood production. Check out the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how they pulled the whole look together. It's all on @HeartbeatAudio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack. And save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses. Plus, updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And we're back. This is Gold Mines, and I'm talking to Benny Blanco. If you did not know, what an amazing conversation would happen. So, Benny,
you know, I tell the listeners all the time, I do this because I find an extreme amount of joy in being able to talk to people that, of course, I admire, that I think are dope, but getting the world of information that people may not know, that they will fall in love with understanding after they hear it. And you're doing just that, man. Like, you're giving such a fucking dope presentation of self, of who you are, and what you're doing. So right now, you mentioned cooking. You mentioned you cooked. You got a fucking cooking show. Is that like a real passion for you?
Yeah. Well, I always cook. You know, it's like when I was like a kid, you know, I didn't grow up with a lot of money. So it's like I grew up in Virginia, bunch of my friends, like one of my friends got a George Foreman grill. And I remember every day we would just get high and try to make new versions of sandwiches. And like, I got that feeling of being like, wow, I'm like, it's just like another service. It's like showing someone a great joke, showing someone a great song. It's like that feeling when you see someone eat something and they're like eyes light up and you're like, fuck, I just did that. It's like instant gratification. And you're like servicing, like you're doing a service. So I started just loving it. And then just like cooked a lot of really shitty meals for friends until I learned how to get better. And then, you know, when I got successful, like I used, the only fame I cared about was like meeting every chef and like learning everything, going to all the restaurants. And you know, I've gotten to cook with some great people. And then I made a show with my friend, Maddie Matheson, who's like an amazing chef. And he's got a show right now that's so big right now, The Bear on FX. He made that show, the executive producer of that show. And like, you know, we just started making funny ass shit and people liked it. So we kept doing it. And then, I don't know, now I'm making a cookbook. I don't know, man. I just wake up and I just try to do... I don't know. I want to just like do shit that makes me like happy and excited. And when I'm sitting around a dinner table talking to my friends and they're like, what'd you do today? I want to feel confident and be like, wow, I really did like a full day. Like every day, I want every day to be the best day I've ever had. Like, it's like, and people will be like, yo, you're doing too much. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm doing too much? This is what I want to do. Like, it's like, I know tomorrow is going to be a crazy day. I don't even know exactly what's going to happen. I know I'm going to Las Vegas. I know I'll probably stay up all night and I know I'm going to have a lot of fun. And then I got to wake up and then the next day something else will happen.
Without any type of, without any type of roadblock or any type of like, you know, door that could present itself of negativity or something that could prohibit you from doing. Like when that roadblock now presents itself and things have to change based off of who you are and who everybody sees you as, that is a big fucking difference. You know what I mean?
It was just like, and but I love the stuff that I'm doing right now so much and the freedom that I will take that because I get to do this. Like, I love the creativity of being able to, you know, I used to, when I made the songs, I would make the song and then that was it. And then I had to give it to someone else's hands and they did. I love making the music videos. I love coming up with the publicity, the marketing, and all of that stuff is so interesting to me. And now, so if that's the only thing I have to deal with, then I'm cool with it. It is just, it is a change, you know? And it's so funny because my whole life, you know, I'll be with the biggest artists in the world and they'll be like, oh, like if I could just do this one thing. Like I remember I was with Justin, like just as I started getting big and as in that regard. And he was like, man, if I could just like walk down the street in New York City, just like go for a walk tonight. He's like, if I could just go for a walk tonight and just like feel safe and feel like I could just like chill. He's like, do you know how good that would feel? And in that moment I was like, what do you mean you could go, you know? And then you realize like more and more, and it's you know, and some of my friends, I always used to, when they'd be on tour, I'd be like, come on, let's like go out. Let's like go explore the city. And they would always sit in their hotel room. And then like, you know, now more and more, I understand the feeling of what people, you know, of the stuff, you know, celebrities have to go through and people, and it's an interesting, you know, but Justin said it well, you know, he was just like, man, he said, life could be so much worse. He's like, I'm playing the world's smallest violin for me. He's like, I get to do what I get to do every single day. And he's like, if this is the price I pay, I'm with it.
I mean, look, it's a real, it's unfortunately, I call it the gift and the curse.
Yeah. Right?
Like we can't act as if the gift that presents itself is a bad one. You just can't. Like you're talking about something that makes sense. It's when we work hard to get to a place and you get to that place, 9 times out of 10, the place is never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
The place is now gonna have a newfound world that shows you something else that you're gonna have to grow accustomed to and then set new goals to succeed in that. You know, as you talk about the hotel and staying in the hotel, I'm a hermit. Like the world of me going out and seeing the cities and all that stuff, that doesn't really exist anymore. But you know what? It's because I'm choosing to not deal with the mass hysteria that happens when I go out there. Now, if you want to deal with that, you can put yourself in that environment and make sure you set up the parameters to do it and do it to your liking. But it's always going to be a lot. You can choose the side of peace and go, I don't want to deal with that.
What would you gonna say? Is there anywhere in the world where you can just walk and it's just freedom? You could do whatever. Nobody knows. You can just do whatever you want. Have you been somewhere like that?
It's been pretty big. It's been pretty big everywhere. I can honestly say it. And I say that humbly.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that's why I go. That's also why I operate. I operate like in hours. My hours are before people are getting up. Like I love the 5 a.m., you know, the 5 a.m. time period. Because what I love to do is go for a run, go for a walk, go to the gym. And in that timeline, you know, it's like the dopest thing is you find yourself by yourself. Nobody else is there. It's just you. It's just you. It's just the wind, the concrete, the sunshine, or the night, you know, the nighttime, whatever it is. I like to operate in a space where I can clear my head.
You waking up?
That's my functioning hours.
You're waking up at 5. What time you wake up?
I wake up at 5.
Give me one.
I'm 4.
One day. Let me hear. Give me the quickest day you could do. I want to know your routine.
Quickest day, And this is without work attached. Without work attached.
Just a normal. If you had to put all your days together, like you're not on a movie set. You're not on a movie set.
Okay. Then I would say I'm up at 4. I'm in the gym between 4:30, 4:45. I work out till about 6:30. Get done working out. After I'm done working out, if I'm home, I'm doing recovery. So my massage therapist would be there. That's getting stretched. That's getting worked on. I'm on that table for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
By 9 a.m., 8:30, 9 a.m., my kids would be up downstairs. That's breakfast. That's hellos. That's kids off to school. Dropping kids off to school. My youngest, my oldest, they're driving, so they're going, getting the kids back, coming back home. After I come back home, shower, dress, I'm out. I'm in the office. I will be in the office between 10:30, 11 until, let's just say, 4.
Okay.
Get back home. Back home by 4. Go work out again. I'm in the gym again from like 4:45 until like 6:30. Kids, everybody home, settled, situated, dinner, after dinner with the kids, chill, fun time, talk some shit, have a good time, finish the day off with probably some work calls, end of day updates. I would say that day probably ends on the phone by like 9, because that work of that period of updates is from like 8 to 9 or 8 to 9:30. And then after that, me and my wife chill, maybe try to watch a movie that we never finished that takes us about a week to watch. I'm probably in bed by 10:30, 11, like sleep. But that lasts like hours, some change. So my day, I'm up from 4:30 to like 10:30, and knocked out by like 11.
Wait, you're working out for
that's a real.
You're working out for 4 hours a day. What the fuck are you doing?
I love it.
What are you doing in there?
Well, I got 4 kids.
What you?
I got.
Are you?
Got
are you doing like kung fu? What are you doing for 4? I work out.
No, so you got.
Bro, I work out. I work out.
I got 4 kids.
Damn, 4 hours a day is crazy.
You got to think. Okay. All right, listen. So what is you have a quiet time, right? There's a period can go.
Workout's one of mine.
Be by.
Yeah, that's one of mine. Workout.
Okay, so that's your quiet time.
That's like my let it all out time. Feel my chi.
Yeah.
You need 4 hours.
That's my thing. I got to do it at the top of the day.
Yeah.
That's how I set up for the shit show of a day that I'm about to have.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I'm in there and it's just me. That was probably outside of my trainer because I'm just doing cardio. But that's where I'm just like winding down.
Okay, so you do weights in the morning, cardio at night.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
I'll do cardio at night with like light core.
And then you're bullshitting like a little bit in there, right? Like you're like hanging out, you're talking, you're dancing, or no. That's crazy.
No.
For 4 hours is nuts. That you work out every 7 days a week?
No. I'm 7.
That's
7 days a week. Sunday's a light
that's
day.
That's fucking you are.
But that's my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's my like I need that. If I don't have that, I'm fucked. Like, you know how people are like, I need my coffee or I need to do this or that. If I don't work out, I feel like I did not work on myself.
Vacation
like, I
too.
Need that.
Vacation
and,
too.
And that, I'm in there. I'm in.
What about
there.
What?
I just get up before everybody.
And then you do. And then when you're yeah. But what about say you're shooting morning shoot 4:45 wake up call.
I'm in the gym before
3.
Everything just gets pushed up, and you got to think I'm at a point where these shooting schedules are dictated around when I'm saying like guys, what time we should start?
Yeah.
So. You know, nothing is going to compromise.
What about night shoot?
My go to the gym and then go.
What about your night shoot? That messes up your whole schedule. When you got the night shoot all night, it messes up your schedule.
I'm still in there.
That's crazy.
I'm in there and I got a gym trailer. So the gym trailer is on set.
I love the dedication, man. Okay, so then I got one other question. I got one last question that I got to ask.
Go ahead.
What's What's next for you?
That's a great question. This is the question. All right, so you know where, wow, full circle moment. So when you say anxiety,
yeah,
this is possibly where some anxiety could present itself.
Okay.
When I get to thinking about how I'm wrapping it all up.
Yeah.
How do I wrap it up, right? Because right now, the biggest thing that I'm trying to accomplish is the concept and idea of generational wealth. The biggest thing that I'm thinking about is the pillar that will stand, that acts as the thing that the family now and my family's family and their family's family can tap into. Can I build an infrastructure that changes the course and direction of success for our family moving forward, right? Like, and this thing doesn't mean everybody has to sign up to do it, but this thing has so many pillars and branches attached to it that whatever the world of liking and love that somebody underneath the heart umbrella that's coming up has, this foundation, it has something for you to tap in. Mm-hmm. So if it's writing, acting, directing, creating, animation, mm-hmm. if it's audio, you know, literature, like whatever it is, advertising, media, posts, is it real estate? Whatever these things are, if I've kind of tapped in and either kick doors open or just turn the key mm-hmm. that allows somebody else to further open them, mm-hmm. that to me would be the best story of grandpa heart, great grandpa heart, great great grandpa, whatever the fuck it is. It'd be like, yo man, he set it up and now we have the ability to expand it and go further. So me thinking about how I'm going to really do that to the best of my ability, like I'm willing to die with it all on the table, knowing that my kids and my kids' kids will be set up in a manner that I'd never, you know, I would have never dreamed of.
Yeah.
That they can take and run with it. You know what
Aren't
I mean?
They already there though?
Like, I get off. I mean, it depends on how you think about it. Like my kids are fine, but my kids still have, and they're grasping the understanding that nothing is given, it's earned. Mm-hmm. But what are their kids going to do? Mm-hmm. Right? Like my kids may not grab a liking to this thing. And if they did, is it just one tier or mm-hmm. one opportunity? Or is it several that they can say, wow, this is what I want to do? Like, I don't want to force my kids uh-huh. to follow the footsteps of what I'm doing. Uh-huh. I want there to be options for them to discover the thing that they want to do. Uh-huh. That's the difference. It's like, in... if done correctly, then great. Like, dude, I get off Benny. I get off when I go to places and you see signs. Like, if you see Hilton, if you see Rockefeller, mm-hmm. if you see JP Morgan Chase, when you see these names on these like franchises, on these things that are worldwide, you see the same names on them. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is the biggest motivation in the world. Somebody's name is on something that is recognized worldwide. Mm-hmm. That's the definition of a brand. Like when you look at Target, Walmart, but like these things to me, I'm like, damn, that's the biggest idea. Those are the biggest fucking versions of an idea. Mm-hmm. I just think on that scale. Maybe I'll get there, maybe I won't.
Heart. And what
heart?
Heart. Heart selling the finest and pharmaceutical diarrhea medicine. I don't know. You don't even know what it's going to be.
I mean, whatever.
As long as
whatever
we're there, baby.
You're not going to bless me with a last name like Hart,
yeah.
and I'm not going to take full advantage yeah. on the opportunity of Hart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's always, you know, it's always, and then there's always that conversation, you know. I was talking to my brother about this the other day, and he was like, he asked me, he said, when's it enough? He was like, when's it enough? And I told him, I said, I don't do it for anyone else. Like, it's like, you know, I do it just because it makes me excited. Like, I'm not sitting there thinking about like, okay, when I do this, that'll be enough. I just can't stop because I love it. That's also my gym. Like working is my gym too. That's like, I find a calmness in the chaos. Do you find that ever?
Yes, dude. There's so many. Benny, I like you, man. I want to go on record saying I fucking like Benny Blanco, man. Like, yes, something about the chaos, something about the stress, something about the
It makes me relax.
I feed off of
it. I don't understand. Yeah. Like, when nothing's going on, I'm like, whoa, whoa. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, now, wait a minute.
Yeah, and they're like, I'm at a point where like I'm really in my head about like slowing down, needing to slow down, making sure I give my family the time. And at the same time, I'm like, but fuck, I want to do shit. But I'm like, but I gotta slow down. You know what I mean? Like
you have to have the balance.
That's my battle.
The balance.
That's what I'm now
realizing. The balance is very important.
Yes. Yes. So maybe that's where. Maybe that's where the anxiety side of it, that's where it's presenting itself. So to answer your question earlier, it's in that. It's in finding the best way to really dictate and manage and make sure that I'm balancing correctly, even though I feel like I want more, I can do more, making sure that I'm allowing the time for my loved ones to love me and for me to love them.
Yeah, you have to not feel bad about yourself. Like, you know, some of my friends, they feel guilty when they're not doing stuff. And it's like, it's okay. Like I always, everything is very important to me. For me, it's all about that balance. It's like, yeah, I'm working really hard today, but then I got a bunch of, you know, my friend's kids coming over and we're going to have a pool party tonight. And you know what I mean? And then it's like, you always got to, I'm always trying to find that. I never work on weekends ever. Don't work on weekends. It's just not happening. Like, and the stuff's hard. I remember like when I first started doing that weekends thing, like I remember there was like one time where like, it was like, they were like, Rihanna wants to work on the weekend. You know what I mean? And it's like, when I was like first starting to do it, and you have to learn to like manage these situations. And it's like, the one thing that I always know to be true after having many different businesses, many different things, dealing with so many people, there's always time. Whenever someone says this is the last possible second you can do it, there is always more time. There always is. And if there isn't, fuck it.
You are so right, because you really, really do understand what you just said is true. There's always time. Always. There's never not time. And it depends on what you choose to make time for, what you choose to prioritize. And even when there may not be time in that moment, there's time for you to discover that you can make time. Right. Like, so I'm a firm believer in there's never not time. It's just never not time for what you don't want there to be time for. But the things that you really want to do, you always can do. This is dope, man. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gold Minds. Y'all know what we do. We get inside the minds of amazing people. And oh my God, today was no different. An amazing mind. It was Benny Blanco. Thank you so much, man, for being on Gold Minds. Much appreciated, champ.
Thank you so much, man.
Listen to an extended version of this show, as well as my radio show, Straight From The Heart, and all sorts of great stand-up and talk on Laugh Out Loud Radio, Channel 96, on the XXM app. New subscribers get 3 months free by going to SiriusXM.com/Laugh Out Loud Radio. That's SiriusXM.com/LOL Radio. Offer details apply.
Goldmines with Kevin Hart is a SiriusXM and LOL Radio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. With Tastemakers Media, Emil Garner, and Ian McDonald.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.